Good morning, Kingdom Faith Church. It is a joy for me to get to join with you guys via technology this morning. And I'm excited because I love the opportunity to talk about God's Word. And I know you all are a hungry community, that you value God's Word. So I have high faith this morning that everybody who's coming across or joining in this service online is going to be strengthened and encouraged by the Word of God. So this morning I want to talk to you about three fires to light your faith. Three fires to light your faith. And I want to talk about prayer. Let's go to Luke 18. So Luke 18 is one of my favorite passages, and prayer is one of my favorite topics. Now I have had the joy of praying with you all, and I know you are a praying church. So I'm pretty confident that this message is not going to be making people feel guilty about how little they pray, but I feel like it's really going to help build your faith and encourage you guys to keep your prayer life strong, individually and corporately, but especially in the times that we are living in. You know, the past 3 months being in a lockdown, experiencing a global pandemic, and then right off the back of that, right in the middle of that, having loads of injustice and racial injustice that is brought to light and exposed. It has been a lot. Most of the people in Ramp Church here in Manchester, we've just been through, it seems like, one challenge after another challenge. Now, of course, God is doing incredible things as well, and we are rejoicing with that. We don't want to ignore the fact that, let's just say, we've never been through a global pandemic before. And learning how to have faith that's vibrant and keep a love for God that's hot in these times, this particular passage, Luke 18, really ministers to me about that. So first, starting in verse 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and we've got this right up here for you. So this passage says, "One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.' The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, 'I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request.' Then the Lord said, 'Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" So let's dive into this amazing... Okay, my favorite part about this whole passage is the very first line. When Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Now, the first thing that I want to just point out is Jesus is speaking to his disciples. So he is talking to the people who've committed to him. You know, all through the Gospels, we come across the passages where Jesus is clarifying and distinguishing between the crowd of people and the onlookers, and the disciples, those who are committed to learning from him and following him and even giving up and sacrificing their very lives for him. So he's speaking to his disciples, and everything that when he's talking to his disciples, he's not just giving them their daily bread and encouragement to sustain them for that moment, but he's equipping them and he is preparing them for the work in his kingdom that they are there on earth to do. So Jesus is telling this parable to his disciples, and knowing what the future holds for them, and that he is going to be returning to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is going to be coming, and then these disciples, these men, these ordinary people that are chosen by God, are going to bring the message of his kingdom and manifest his kingdom in a dark, hostile world and environment. And so I think one of the most important things that we can kind of just exhale a bit is, first of all, Jesus knows how to prepare those who follow him for what's coming. And sometimes, you know, things spring up on us, like we have this global pandemic and we're in an economic challenge right now as a nation. But as followers of God, those who are committed to walking in Jesus' ways and are in relationship with him, he is preparing us and equipping us and has given us the resources that we need for whatever battle we find ourselves in. I love what our pastor Karen Wheaton in the States, she's the founder of The Ramp. One of her best friends, Judy Jacobs, preaches a powerful message just about how the Lord has anointed you for whatever circumstance and battle you find yourself in. So God has prepared us. He has given us what we need. And even in this passage, you know, all of the disciples that were listening to this, minus Judas, the one who betrayed him, they all were martyred for their faith. Jesus went up to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down, and they took the message of the kingdom into a dangerous world, a world that rejected them. Many received, but many also persecuted them. And many of them ended up dying for their faith. And I think one thing that Jesus is teaching, why he's teaching them about prayer, is he knows that they'll be tempted to give up. That we all, even as devout followers of Jesus Christ, even people who are in relationship with him, that we can be tempted to give up. And so Jesus' whole purpose is stated. For why is he telling us this? He's telling us to prepare us and equip us. He's telling us to help put a foundation in our lives that if we be if we're the doers of God's word, if we live out that word, if we put it into practice, that no matter what storms may come, we'll still be standing. And listen to this. I'm going to read the verse. The first one again is just that this phrase. He told them a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. Now, isn't it challenging though sometimes? It is, isn't it? This is very relevant, isn't it, to the Christian faith? Because we do have faith in God, but then what happens? Faith is tested. Faith is tested by suffering, by trials, by difficult circumstances, by unjust circumstances. Our faith can be tested. And in testing and in trial, sometimes what we're tempted to give up and relax our grip on faith. So Jesus is giving us a strategy. How do we keep perseverance? How do we keep grit in our walk with God? And then this parable comes, and this is what's incredible too about the contrast that he does between the unjust and the just. But before I get to that, so the first thing I want to emphasize is Jesus knew his disciples would be tempted to give up. So prayer is essential for enduring faith. Prayer is essential for enduring faith. Jesus knew that in the last days, in Matthew 24, he says, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. Sin will be rampant everywhere. But the love of many will grow cold. But those who endure to the end will be saved. We'll come back and look at that verse in just a minute. So prayer is essential to enduring faith. Prayer is essential to not giving up. Now, let's look at another quick point on the context of this, what we can glean from just what Jesus is saying here. Is he begins then to contrast the unjust judge. This poor widow, first of all, just think about the widow, okay? She's a vulnerable person in society there. She has no husband. Her husband has died. She is in the middle of a dispute with an enemy. And then the person in power and authority is indifferent to her need. This unjust judge says that he ignores her for a while, and she is just wearing him out with her persistence, the desperation of her need. And isn't that like so many of us find ourselves in situations, the widow, who circumstances sometimes that have been outside of our control. And it just things that feel unfair. And there is so much in us, even as those who have knowledge and revelation of God's will. We have the Holy Spirit who is always revealing to us the perfect will of the Father, and yet we live in this broken world and we're commissioned to bring about the manifestation of God's kingdom, to be that bridge, that representative of God's kingdom. As we live in that tension of really being this person who is aware that there needs to be justice, there needs to be an intervention, there needs to be a change, there needs to be a shift. And how do we not grow weary and give up in that place of knowing the will of God and then living here on planet Earth and releasing that will of God into brokenness, into darkness, into injustice? So first, prayer is essential to enduring faith. And then second, even in this passage where it says in verse 6, learn a lesson from the unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. The second thing that I want to just highlight is Jesus' emphasis, his reassurance in this parable, as found throughout all the pages of this book, that God will come through for his people. He says here, God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night. He will grant justice to them quickly. With this parable is faith building to me because it again is reassuring us that no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what our feelings may be, I mean, this little phrase right here, will he keep putting them off? Sometimes it feels like God is putting you off. Now, feelings lie to us, but he's identifying some of these things. Well, he said, will he grant justice to them? Will he keep putting them off? Yes, he's going to grant justice to his chosen people. And then he says, quickly. Yeah, I don't know about you, but do you ever wonder sometimes, it's like, Lord, is my definition of quickly the same thing as your definition of quickly? And the answer is no, because God's understanding is so much greater than my understanding. God is eternal. He's the beginning and the end. There is no end to him. And I'm caught in this time. And one thing, I have three girls, and I've noticed how sometimes it's like the younger they are, the harder it is for them to understand time, the harder it is for them to understand quick being something quick, something being long. When they're real little, it's like everything seems long. To tell them to wait 5 minutes before you can give them something to eat just feels like an eternity to them. But as they grow and they mature, you know, their understanding of time even is developed. And I think of my understanding of time compared to God's understanding of time is just, there's such a huge gap between mine and his understanding. But then in the light of eternity, This word just tells us over and over that it's in the twinkling of an eye, that our life is the span of a man's hand, that we're like everything here on earth that feels so long and drawn out is really just a blink of an eye compared to all of eternity that we have ahead of us in Christ. And I know some things feel so long and drawn out, but sometimes I think about it like this. I think, gosh, okay, so I have a 13-year-old girl. And I think 13 years ago, she was just a baby. And 13 years ago, it feels like it was yesterday. It feels like it was so, like it was long ago, but then so short. And sometimes even that parallel helps me understand that everything happening right now, it really is going to be very quickly that God brings his vindication. And that every bit of suffering, every bit of temporary suffering is going to give way to eternal glory. And every prayer that we've sown here on earth, every prayer and every seed of God's word and everything that we have sown in obedience, that it's going to quickly, at Christ's return, it's going to be brought into full manifestation. And everything else is just going to look like Paul says in the Message translation, it's going to be like small potatoes. It's going to be so, we're going to understand perfectly that God actually did mean every single thing that he said, even the quickness of his vindication. In Isaiah 54, the passage, there's a prophecy about the coming day of the Lord. And that when the Lord and the Messiah comes, and when the Lord and the New Jerusalem and all of the full manifestation of God's kingdom on earth, he says in Isaiah 54 that our vindication as the people of God comes from him. And that it will come. That the vindication that we, that our hearts have been longing for believing in God, for trusting in him, standing on his word, standing on his promises. There's a day when Jesus is going to show up and all of that is going to be legitimized in the whole world. Every tribe, nation, and tongue will see that God is for his people, that he's coming with his reward, that he doesn't deny his people. He doesn't withhold the manifestation of the promises. No, he will deliver. So Jesus teaching us through this that one, prayer is essential for enduring faith. And two, that God will come through for his people. And then the third point that I want to highlight about this is, again, the point of concern, according to Jesus in this last line, but I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly when the Son of Man returns. How many will he find on earth who have faith? He closes out the whole parable with this highlighting of the real point of concern. He's telling his disciples, the real point of concern is not if God is going to come through for his people. The point of concern that Jesus brings is, when I return, are my disciples going to have faith in me? Are they going to have an enduring faith in me? It's interesting to me in Matthew 24. Let's see. Luke 22. I want to show you Luke 22. Do I have this one up here? Yes. So Luke 22, Jesus is talking to Simon Peter. And he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Isn't this incredible? Even going back to what I said, that Jesus knows what we are headed into and that he has prepared us. His spirit, his word prepares us for what we're walking into, even if we're unsure of it, even if we don't see it coming. And sometimes no matter how prophetic you are, you walk into circumstances that you just didn't see coming. But the Spirit of God and the Word of God has prepared you as a disciple for that. And Jesus is saying here that Satan has asked to sift them like wheat. But what did Jesus pray? Again, he's praying, he's pleaded in prayer for Simon that your faith should not fail. And that makes me think of just what Jesus concluded in Luke 18. Is he saying, God's going to come through for his chosen people. Of course God's going to come through for his chosen people. The point of concern is not if God is going to come through for his people. The point of concern is, are his people going to have enduring faith that when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? And there is a fight for your faith in Jesus. And Satan is still desiring to sift God's disciples like wheat. And Jesus is interceding, and the Holy Spirit inside of us is interceding that our faith would remain strong. Because God responds to the faith of his people. I just want to, in closing here, highlight, okay, three different fires to light your faith. So in this parable, there is a big plight, and she is petitioning in persistence to this unjust judge. And she is persistently requesting. And then Jesus parallels that and said, well, those who cry out to him day and night, will they get justice? Yes, they will. And then he is telling them to have faith. So how do you keep faith a light and a blaze, and in how do you keep faith functioning and vibrant in the middle of unjust circumstances, circumstances you feel you weren't prepared for, hardship, the loss of maybe the loss of a husband like this widow, and in the presence of an enemy like this widow, and in the presence of people in authority and people that should be for you acting indifferent, acting like they don't care. How do you keep even that persistence in the place of prayer? How do you keep your faith enduring? I want to talk to you briefly just four things. Now, Kingdom Faith, I know that you guys are brilliant at implementing all of these. And I feel like this word is really hopefully just a reminder to you of what is already part of the very fabric of your DNA, faith and prayer. And so really, you can take this as an encouragement that maybe you're on the right track and you've just got to stick with it. And hopefully it will be wind in your sails, keeping you moving forward in the goodness of God. Sorry about that. My timer just got a text. But let me talk to you first. When I think about darkness and what has even bringing the kingdom of God, what wants to hinder my faith life? Sometimes just feeling like you don't know what to pray, how to pray, is a damper on our faith. We feel overwhelmed, okay? We feel overwhelmed by things. So first of all, I'm going to state the obvious. When things feel dark, maybe you're in a transition from a different workplace, or you sense a transition, but you don't know where yet to land. Or perhaps you your faith feels like it's weak because the thing you're asking for, you've been asking for it for years. You're like this widow. You've been approaching the throne of God for years, and you feel weary in your place. How do you keep going? What's the key to the never giving up kind of faith? Well, first of all, I'm going to state the obvious. I think it is God's word. Now, most of you you've probably been praying God's word for years, for decades. But maybe some of you are new to faith and you're new to even prayer. I want to tell you, if I look back at my early days of praying, gosh, God's word was so helpful because I just felt like, okay, I know I want to pray, but I have no idea what to pray. And I would just steal any and every prayer from here. I would read it and I would pray it, and it would build my faith. I would take Psalms. I'd always start in Psalms, and I would say, well, okay, I know I need to pray, but I don't know what to pray. So I'm just going to start praying the Psalms. So I would read, let me just say, okay, so here's one that I've circled. It says in Psalm 141, I would read, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Don't let me drift toward evil or take part in wickedness. And I would just begin to pray that. Okay, Lord, I pray that you would take control of what I say, O Lord. And then as I'm saying it out loud, as I'm praying, I'm thinking, dear God, that's a good prayer for me to pray. And it begins not just to be the prayer of David, it begins to burn in my heart. The word of God is such a great starting point for what to pray, for giving us confidence in our prayers. And even great men of God like Daniel in the Old Testament, who lived in Babylon, and he served Nebuchadnezzar. I love how Daniel 9, verse 2, says, during the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. And then you read on in this passage. And so then what does he do? He learns from reading the word of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. And so then he sets himself to prayer and fasting. And then he receives a vision, an angelic visitation, and this angel shows up, you know the story, and says, Daniel, from the first day that you started praying, I was released to bring about the will of God, but I got caught up in the heavenlies fighting the prince of Persia. Isn't this an incredible story? So God's word can tell us and direct us on how to pray. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But you know why this word is also important? Because this word is fuel for our prayer life. This word doesn't just show us what to pray, but it puts faith and fire in our prayers. When we are feeling weary, or we are feeling like we have been praying about something for decades, and then we read the parable of the widow in Luke 18. Somebody else who felt like they had been praying and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and wasn't getting an answer right away. We are encouraged because we find ourselves in the stories of these people, and our faith is strengthened because we read the end of their story, and we read testimony after testimony of God's faithfulness to come through, and that builds our faith. So we need God's word as fire for our faith life, not just because sometimes we feel overwhelmed and don't even know where to start, but because it strengthens us. This is a book filled with accounts of real people who walked a real broken planet like us. And they felt things like this widow felt, like God is putting us off. Does it feel like that sometimes? Yes, we find even our feelings and our tests are even validated in the sense of we're not alone, it's not personal. This is because you're carrying the kingdom of God into a hostile environment. And there's opposition right alongside opportunity. So this is so important to build your faith, to keep it strong, to keep your prayers filled with faith. And I want to just tell you, you guys know this. I feel like I'm probably saying everything that you hear every week. But you guys know that this is not just something that you tick off of a to-do list at the beginning of the day. Now, this is for your good. So I sometimes think of the word like food, like physical food. So the more you, because I studied nutrition in college. So I know, like, the more I exercise, the more energy I expend, then the more energy that I require, the more calories I need to eat so that I feel energetic. I feel like I have enough stamina. And some seasons and some days, you've got to have more input because you're having more output. There's more demand on your faith life. Your faith life is working. It's working hard to believe, and circumstances are coming in every hour that can shake that. And so you just don't think, oh, well, I already read my Bible today. No, you take this as needed. You take it every day, definitely, and regularly. But then you want more of it. Your faith life feels weak, then you put more in. So the word of God is going to be an absolutely necessary ingredient for that never giving up praying that Jesus is equipping his disciples for. And then, of course, you know about the Holy Spirit. And you know in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And I love the language in Romans 8 in the New Living. It says, So the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And there's loads of different ways that can happen. But for one example, we don't even know what we ought to pray. And so the Holy Spirit prays with groanings that can't be expressed in English words. So the Holy Spirit helps us. And as a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit in you, not just to strengthen you, but because the Holy Spirit is in you, perseverance is possible. No matter what battle it is, no matter how long it's been going on, the Holy Spirit is able to enable you to persevere for whatever the word or the will of God is in your life. There is a staying power that the Holy Spirit brings. And in 1 Corinthians 14:14-15, Paul's talking about the gift of praying in tongues. And some of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you received the gift of tongues. You received your prayer language. And maybe some of you are new, or you've known the Lord for years, but you don't have the gift of tongues yet. I just encourage you. Jesus says the Holy Spirit, he gives these gifts to those who ask. So eagerly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you can ask for the gift of tongues, the ability to pray and interpret to other people the divine messages of God. But there's also this praying in the Spirit that is powerful for your spirit man to be edified, and that you can do on your own. And Paul says, I pray in the Spirit and I pray in understanding. When I pray in the Spirit, my spirit is edified. So I'm going to pray in the Spirit and I'm going to pray with understanding. And praying in the power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential for keeping that hope and that faith burning bright in your prayer life. So we've got the Word of God, we've got the Holy Spirit, A lot of times when I feel like things are dark, I have to up, if I feel overwhelmed with darkness, I up my praying in the spirit. Because things that are dark, you know, you don't see, you don't understand as clearly. When circumstances are just crazy and you can't comprehend them, you've got to up that praying in the spirit, because praying in the spirit is enabling your spirit to directly pray the will of your Father in heaven. Okay, the last thing, I can't remember how many points I said, but this is the last one. This is the third one. How do you keep your, how do you have fire on your faith life for that never giving up prayer? Is community. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. You know this passage where Jesus says, if two or three of my followers are gathered together in my name, and there's agreement there, they can ask whatever they will, and it'll be given to them. So there is this emphasis that Jesus is saying, this essential key for this praying people that's birthed on the earth, these kingdom ambassadors, and it's praying together. You know what's so frustrating about how the enemy works is he lures us away in isolation when we need to be connected the most. And sometimes our feelings can be absolutely opposite of what we need. We need to show up because we're going through a crisis, but we don't feel like it because we're tired and we're stressed. I'm telling you, don't fall into that trap. I've been there, felt that. We've all been there and felt that. And sometimes you have just got to show up in the presence of community and let them pray for you. And your family, your church family, is so important for keeping the fire of your faith hot and producing that persistence in prayer. You're going to have things in your life that come up, and you're going to feel like the persistent widow, like you are just wearing God out with it. And that's why, in seasons like that, it is so important to have a brother or sister in Christ who can pray you through, who can literally help hold your arms up and pray for you and strengthen you by their own prayers. So, in closing, I want to ask you just a simple question. You know, sometimes when we have grown up in church and God is such a part of our life, things that become normal and good habits and good disciplines, they lose the fire and the value. They become familiar. And I want to ask you, has your prayer life, has your corporate prayer life, has your individual prayer life been struggling in faith and fire? And if so, then what can you do about it to get fresh fire from the Word, to get the Holy Spirit praying through you, and to get even the community of people around you engaged to help each other bring that enduring faith and that prayer that brings answers to your city and your community? I think of prayer and our relationship with God, our communication with God, as the substance that fills every vehicle the church does. So we're preaching, we're doing outreach, we're doing good deeds, but what makes it lasting? What makes it eternal? It's our prayers that fill everything we do with the eternal substance of faith, hope, and love. Prayer is providing that richness of God's relationship that brings the element of faith, hope, and love into everything we do. It's the fuel, it's the fire that keeps us enduring in really difficult circumstances. It keeps us moving forward as the kingdom of God. Well, I'd like to just close in prayer for you, if that's okay, Kingdom Faith. I want to bless you and where you're at in this season of bringing God's kingdom to your world. Father, what a privilege that we have to come to you in prayer. What a privilege to partner with you, Lord Jesus, in bringing your kingdom to the world around us. What a privilege, God, that we can speak and you can listen. What an incredible privilege, Father, that you don't only hear us, but you have promised to answer and to bring about your kingdom through praying people. And Lord, I pray, Father, right now for every person who may be struggling with temptation to give up, to lose faith, to be disheartened, to feel like they are persistently praying, but they're not seeing the answers that they want. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would remind them in their spirit man, that they would just get fresh revelation of the assurance that you give us. That, Lord, you do come through for your people. And I pray that at Kingdom Faith, Lord, that you find a people that have enduring faith. That when you return, Lord Jesus, that every single one of them, every single one that you've assigned to that house and that local body, that their faith is enduring and that it brings you much glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for letting me spend Sunday morning with you all. I pray you are blessed. And if you're watching and you need prayer or you need to commit your life to Jesus, then I encourage you, reach out to one of your pastors or leaders. Let them know. Open up. They want to help you on your journey with God. God bless you all.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.